Tuesday Arvos, we like to check in with Justin Delandy at Lending For You to talk home run finance. Good afternoon, mate. How are you going?
I'm going well. Welcome back, Lee.
Thank you, mate. Thank you very much. You've had a little bit of a shift since we last spoke. Is that right?
Yes, we've moved into the mall, mate. 115 Rook Street, right next door to Live Eat.
Lovely.
Yeah, we're enjoying our new offices.
Jeez, that's a bit dangerous being next to a food joint.
It is. And I already spend a lot of money. Anyway.
Mate, let's talk finance. PEXA Property Insight Report. How's this faring across the states here in Australia?
Well, you know, after 2 years of strong momentum, unsurprisingly, it's indicating that sales settlements are falling and Australia's record property market run has come to an end. So with New South Wales experiencing the largest decline in both property sales volume and value, according to that PEXA Property Insights report. New South Wales, they dropped by about 13% over the quarter. Queensland as well has dropped, but they still, you know, still had $32 billion worth of property sales over the quarter, which is pretty impressive. Mm. Victoria posted a bit of a modest decline, about 11%, but again, still about $37 billion. But they recorded nearly 3,000 more sales settlements for the quarter than their larger neighbour, New South Wales. Western Australia's property market continued to show a little bit of resilience. They've sort of held their own, as have sales volumes in Tasmania have remained steady, which is interesting when we had CommSec come out yesterday, I think it was, with the State of the States report, and Tassie resumed the number one mantle across a number of statistics, including property sales. So we're holding our own.
Yeah, that's good news. But I did see a story, I don't know if it was on Four Corners or 7:30 a couple of weeks ago, regarding insurers, and not only insurers but home lenders, where it comes to people living in disaster zones. Did you manage to catch that?
No, not at all.
That was really interesting watch. It was sort of, I think it was focusing more on northern states where they've been going through a lot more curry than we have lately. And it was saying that banks and insurers are really hesitant to, you know, lend for low-lying homes in potential flood zones, etc. So I just thought that might have been something that you guys would have been talking about there.
No, look, I suppose here in Tassie, I mean, we've had some pretty awful floods, you know, here on the northwest coast, you know, on Railton, Latrobe, etc. But I haven't heard of any issues at all or any lenders here locally that have, you know, want to reduce the amount they lend or not lend because of previous flooding.
And of course, I mean, the scale as well, as disastrous as it is, we don't get it on the scale they do on the mainland, do we?
No, it's funny. I was actually in Shepparton on the weekend and drove past the Shepparton Swans Football Club, and it's still water up to its windows.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. There's just no end in sight for the moment. They're forecasting a wet summer too. Right, speaking of properties, sorry, mate. Speaking of properties, the HIA, there are supply constraints still in place. I mean, anybody trying to renovate at the moment probably knows this all too well.
Yeah, and look, the HIA have come out and, you know, indicated that something that we really know here, particularly on the coast, that Australian home builders are still struggling to complete the enormous pipeline of work they've accumulated over the last couple of years. And fresh ABS building activity data for the June quarter showed that new detached dwellings were down by about 6.3% from the previous quarter. Meanwhile, there was about 31,000 new houses started, and that was up on the previous quarter. But there's more houses still being commenced than completed. And, you know, the reason for that is those supply constraints that builders are struggling to get the timber, the materials that they need. And, of course, there's a shortage of skilled trades across the board as well. And those supply constraints are definitely going to keep Australia's home builders across the country busy this year as they continue to work down the record volume of projects that they've got. Mm. With interest rates and the cost of building also increasing, affordability constraints will push home buyers back towards more affordable sort of living. And we're probably going to see the return of a bit more of migration. Now, COVID seems to be behind us. We're probably going to have people migrating to Australia, and And that means that across the country, you're going to have demand for more housing. So demand for more unit developments, demand for more residential housing. And so with the skilled trade shortages, the shortages in terms of getting hold of materials, doesn't look like it's going to be fixed anytime soon.
Good news. That's all. Well, you always end like that. The hands in the air. What next? Right, let's talk about the dollar. Where's it sitting? It's been 3 months of ups and downs. Surely, yeah, is it in the 70s at the moment, or lower or higher?
No, 63 cents.
What?
Yes, it's we've absolutely tanked against the US since we last spoke. But look, you know, with the dollar being that low, they sort of, economists believe that it's only sort of going to have a little bit of a minor upward impact on inflation from this year's decline in the Australian dollar. The Reserve Bank pretty much have noted that while the Australian dollar's fallen 14% against the US this year, in terms of what they believe, it's only 2% in trade-weighted terms. And this mattered as domestic inflation is more impacted by moves in that area than against the US dollar alone. So they're sort of saying, you know, the central banks raised interest rates by 250 basis points to help restrain inflation across the country, which is running at a 21-year high of about 6%. We believe the Reserve Bank's going to raise rates further in the period ahead, and the size and timing of rate increases will depend on the incoming data, including the response of household spending to our tightening financial conditions and also the outlook for the inflation from the labour market. So the US dollar, what's happened with the appreciation of the US dollar, it's going to add to import costs. And the funny part about that, the dollar goes down, it adds to import costs, and then, it causes more inflation, which means that we might get more interest rate increases. So a high US dollar is also curbing demand for many commodities and putting downward pressure on those prices. So, interestingly enough, the dollar being down like that at 63 cents, it actually impacts our inflation figures as well. So we go on the merry-go-round, Lee, and it's not good for us at all.
Not at all. Finally, what do you know about bridges?
Yeah, I wish I did, because there's one at Somerset that needs fixing pretty quickly, I think.
So I've heard.
Yeah, so I've heard. I wouldn't like to be sitting in traffic like a lot of people were.
You're safe on your chair in your office there at the moment, I think.
Yes, I will. I definitely will stick to this end of the coast for a little while.
The only queue you've got to worry about is the one next door at the food joint.
That's right. And of course, next Tuesday we've got one of the biggest days of the year, and also the Reserve Bank meeting.
So you'll be giving yourself the day off, won't you?
Well, it's the Melbourne Cup. I think I should.
Enough said. Beautiful. Good to chat.
All right. Talk soon.
We'll do it again, not next Tuesday. Justin Delaney from Lenny for You. Thank you. It's the Home Run, 20 to 5.